Tonight, as you can tell from the handout, as you can see, we're going to be dealing with a very important topic when it comes to evangelism. Sadly, it's a topic that many times is left out of evangelism, or many times it's presented in a watered-down way, or not the full scope of what the Bible says it should be. And that's the matter of repentance. You know, if a person has a wrong view of repentance, then you're going to end up with a false hope and, sadly, a false salvation. So it's our duty as ambassadors, as we've been continuing this series on evangelism, sowing and reaping, it's our duty to present the biblical view of repentance. And there's a lot of false views. We're going to look at some of those tonight. But in many instances, those that are being witnessed to or those that were giving the gospel, they're hearing the gospel, many times they're given a false view of repentance in which you profess belief in Jesus Christ, but yet you go right back to living the same old way. You know, I've thought about back in, I don't know what decade it was in, when they had all those massive crusades where, you know, just people would just raise their hands, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, then they would put their hand back down and go right back out to live the same way they did before they came into the crusade. That's not biblical repentance. And so tonight we want to look at what it means from the Bible standpoint, different descriptions of it, and then we'll look at some false views of repentance. Before we do that, let's just ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to open up some different studies from your word. And I pray, Lord, that we would understand this important topic of repentance. Lord, it's blessed my heart as I've studied it, and I pray that the message will be clear tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Now, first of all, in defining this word, if you notice there in Roman numeral 1, letter A in the New Testament, repent is the Greek word metanoia. We are very familiar, well, we should be with that. And it literally means to change the mind. Now, the study book that we're going with, written by David Cloud, he writes this good definition. I really enjoyed reading this. It says, repentance is a supernatural work of God whereby a responsive sinner, being convicted by the Holy Spirit of his rebellion, turns to God from his sinful ways and trusts Jesus Christ for salvation. There's a change in behavior. He, in other words, changes his mind. He turns from his sin. He turns from what he was before and turns to something different now. It's almost like a U-turn or whatever you make. Many times, maybe we've made illegal U-turns before. I don't know. But sometimes we get in a hurry and we make U-turns in the middle of the road. I remember my dad one time was in Cary, North Carolina, a very, very busy little city. And it was Christmas Eve, and he was just in a big hurry to get to that shopping mall before they closed. He had about one more present. And it was way over here, and you have to go all the way down to the light around this big concrete thing and go around this way. He said, I don't want to do that. So he just turned right there in front of everybody across six lanes, going in front of the over the concrete median in his truck, just went right in. And unfortunately for him, a state trooper was sitting there staring at him. So he got a Christmas Eve ticket. And I'm sure he doesn't mind me telling that story. We still laugh about it. But, you know, we make U-turns many times, sometimes illegally. But that's what repentance is. I'm going this way. I'm a sinner. I'm in rebellion. I don't want to submit to the Lord. But in salvation, in the new birth, there is a change of the mind. There is a turning away from that and turning to God. And that's many times something that's not emphasized in modern evangelism. It's a clear change in behavior. The change does not save the person from sin. Now, don't get into that. It doesn't save the person from sin. The change doesn't. But it's the fruit of biblical salvation. It's the natural result of God working in your heart, of God changing your mindset, of God letting you realize what your sin truly is that causes you to change and say, I see what this sin now is in front of a holy God, and I want to live for the Lord. I want to turn from those things. I've also listed here on letter C, the famous Greek scholar, Trench, who wrote the synonyms of the New Testament, wrote an excellent study on that. He defined the Greek word in a fourfold manner. Notice this. Number one, it means to know after. Now, notice how this kind of builds each step, one through four. It means to know after. Then it is, number two, the change of the mind consequent to this knowledge that you get. You learn something. The Holy Spirit works in your heart. You hear the gospel. You come to Christ. You want to know the gospel. You hear this, that the Lord died for you, that your sin is against God, that you can't be accepted of God, that Christ did this for you, like we talked about a few weeks ago, the gospel, that whole message of the gospel. You hear the knowledge of this, and it causes a change of the mind. Number three, it involves regret for the course pursued, resulting from the change of mind consequent on this knowledge. In other words, we get this knowledge, we change our mind about our sin, the way we were going in, and we have, yes, a sense of remorse, a sense of regret that we lived that way. And we turn to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for living this way. It was a terrible thing. And then notice finally number four there. It is the change of, not only remorse for the past, But it's a change of conduct that is so key because it's missing today. It's the change of conduct for the future that springs from this knowledge, that springs from this work of the Lord in your heart. It causes a change of conduct for the future. Now, coming to Christ through the gospel, coming to Christ in the new birth brings this change of mind and the conduct. A regret for the past, but yet a future view toward a change. Now, let's look at some descriptions of biblical repentance, Roman numeral 2 there. Repentance, letter A, first of all, is admitting sin against God. Notice I underlined against God. Look at a verse in Acts chapter 20. I've listed three verses at the top of your sheet. We'll get to them at some point. But turn to Acts chapter 20 and look at verse number 21. You've got to recognize something in repentance. That sin is against God. That in my sinful state, that's the life I'm living in. I'm living in sin, and it's against Him. He's holy, I'm sinful. You know, that's the point that needs to be made clear so many times. Who are we repenting to? Why are we repenting? Because our sin is against God, the one we're to be accountable for. Notice Acts chapter 20, verse number 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. Why? Because our sin is against God. The sin is against Him, so the repentance, therefore, obviously is to Him. You know, man was made for God. Man was made for obeying God, but man turned from this. You know, he was made to do the Lord, to in the Garden of Eden, to live for the Lord, to do what the Lord asked him to do. Man chose to turn from that. So instead of, you know, in repentance, we have to turn back to what God originally created us to. That is to bring glory to Him and to live for Him and to obey Him. So we turned in our own will and went after sin. Now repentance is turning away from that rebellious direction and repenting toward God and going back toward Him. Lord, I see now what my sin has done. I see that my sin is against You, and I do not want to go that direction anymore. Because the gospel has clearly indicated in my mind what this sin is. Now notice, letter B, number 2. Repentance, therefore, is not only admitting that I have gone against God, but also turning around and changing directions. Yes, I recognize and I admit, as we said in number 1, that I have gone against the Lord in my sin. Flip over in your Bible to Acts chapter 26. Notice there's something very important. This is a familiar verse, but notice something very important in Acts chapter 26. Again, this is a key to repentance that is ignored many times in our modern methods of evangelism. Chapter 26, verse 20. Paul is talking about, you know, how he obeyed the heavenly vision. He's, you know, giving kind of his testimony to King Agrippa. Verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea. When Paul went and preached then to the Gentiles, what did he say? That they should repent and turn to God and what? Do works meet for repentance, or do things now that are appropriate for this repentance. I've turned into a new direction. I'm therefore living in this new direction towards God. It's more than just recognizing, yes, I've gone against God, but it brings a change to the direction. It's a change in the heart that the Lord brings through regeneration. And I'm repenting now, turning from what I was doing and turning toward God and doing works meet or appropriate for repentance. Notice number 3 here. Repentance, furthermore, means to surrender to God's rule. Now, again, as I said, when we live in sin, before we come to Christ, the life of sin as a sinner, we are in a state of rebellion. We don't want God to be our authority. We don't want God to be the Lord in our life. We don't want to answer to God. We want to do our way, our own thing. I heard a few minutes of our pastor's chapel the other day. He was talking about Isaiah chapter 53. He was talking about sheep. That we go our own way. That is the nature of a sinner. And we don't want anything to do with the lordship of God. But when I come to repentance, it means that I surrender to God's rule. That He's the only Savior. Nothing else can save me. None of the things I can do. None of that saves. But He is also the only Lord in my life. I am surrendered to Him completely. Again, in sin, I'm a rebel. I don't want to submit to God. I don't want to submit to authority. So repentance is a change of that mindset. That yes, I do want to submit to the Lord. Yes, I do want to surrender to Him. You know, the New Testament is replete with so many examples of different men who repented and turned to the Lord and called him the Lord. You know, he's the Lord of my life now. He is the one that I answer. He's the one that I serve. He is the one I am under in submission. We don't like to talk about that today, being under somebody, submitting to somebody. We don't want to be under anybody. It's against our nature. But when I come to Christ and I'm regenerated and I repent, I'm turning from a state of rebellion to a state of submission to the Lord. Then quickly, letter D. Repentance is more than a change of life. Now get this. I know we've talked about, you know, repentance involves a change, but it's deeper than that. Don't think that it's a change that you work up in your heart. And, you know, we're going to talk about that later. It's more than just a reformation. Because, boy, can people fake a change? They can fake it in a heartbeat. They know, you know how to do certain things in front of certain people. And, you know, I remember growing up in a Christian school and all that in a church. It's easy to play that game. That people can think, oh, that person's good, that person's saved, that person's got to be saved, but you'll be surprised a few years later, things come out, and you're like, wow, I didn't know that was going on. People can fake this change. But notice, quickly, the bold that I put there in letter D. It is a change of mind about God and sin. That's the key, first. That in my mind and heart, because of the work that the gospel has done in my heart, I come to the realization that the pathway of sin is against God, that it dishonors Him, that it doesn't please Him, that it's contrary to the Word of God. That is the mindset of a sinner. I'm just going to do what I want to do. But when I come to Christ and I hear the gospel, I realize those things displease the Lord. I'm going to have a change of heart and mind that the Lord works in me, and because of that change, the life then changes. Again, it's not a manufactured change. It's not a reformation that we work up, but it's a change of the mind and heart that naturally results in this change of life. You know, biblical salvation is more than just believing in Jesus and getting out of hell. You know, so many times that's the part that's emphasized. You know, it's a change of mind about sin that brings realization that my sin offends God, the one that saved me. Sin offends Him. So I've got to have a U-turn. I've got to have a change of mind about my sin. I've got to realize what my sin is. And when I come to that point, then I say, "That I want to change my life. I don't want to do these things anymore that displease the Lord." And it's out of a heart of love that we serve the Lord and submit to Him and do, as Acts chapter 26 says, the works meet for repentance. You know, we often hear the escape from hell mentality, you know, but it doesn't touch on the change that should come to our hearts. You know, when you change the mind, it is about your unsaved life and your view of sin. You see that it's against God and that this is what can change the life. I thought about 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, that the Thessalonians, what did they do? They turned to God from what? Idols. How did that happen? The Lord worked in their hearts and regenerated them. And they realized that this idol worship is against God. And therefore, the change is to come. This is biblical repentance. But so many times, as I said, this issue is either avoided or it is watered down. It's diluted. The issue does not want to be dealt with, repentance, as the Bible presents it, mainly because many times I think it's out of fear that, you know, the person won't come to Christ and they won't become a Christian because of my witnessing. You know, people sometimes reason in their mind, so it's better to get someone to profess that they are a believer than not to get the profession at all. So, you know, you put a lot of pressure on them, just, oh, I got to get them to make it the profession of faith that they're a believer. So we leave out this stuff that's hard to deal with, like repentance and change and sin. We don't want to deal with that. We just want, oh, just believe. Now, that's true. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. There is the element of belief. But so many times the element of repentance is left out because we're afraid people won't come to Christ. It's a wrong mentality to have. So if I, you know, leave out the repentance aspect or redefined it to make it easier to swallow, then I can get that person to believe because it's easy for them to believe. But in so doing, what do we do? We take that person into a false gospel. We take them into a false gospel that teaches them, I can just simply believe in something and it can have no effect on my life, and I completely detached my life from what I say I believe. Is that not the majority of the cases in our modern Christianity in our churches today? It's amazing how people, they do the things and they have the lifestyle they have, but yet they believe in Jesus. And they believe, I profess belief in Jesus. There's never been that element of repentance, that turning, that change that the Lord works in their heart that has been brought to them. So we take people into a false gospel, and it's going to be harder for them to come to a true gospel. I tell you, I think sometimes about young people that are in youth groups of churches that don't, you know, oh, it's okay, you can listen to what you want to, do what you want to do, talk like you want to want, anything you want to do, it's okay, you can still believe in Jesus. I'm telling you, somebody's going to answer for that, teaching that to them, because they're going to have a hard time. Now, the Lord can do it, but they have been given a false gospel. So they walk through life convinced in their own hearts that they are okay. And in reality, they've never known Christ, because when you come to Christ and you understand the gospel, then you make a U-turn. There's a change in mind, because you realize what all those things that we see that we love to do of the flesh and the world and my desires and my nature, those things offend God. Remember we said it's against God. That's what my sin is. And when I realize that it's against Him, then it changes my mindset and changes my life. Now, quickly there, Roman numeral 3, I'm trying to move along here. What about some false views of repentance? This is so important, and I want to bring out something. Now, these false views of repentance, each of them have, you know, maybe a good point or part of the meaning. They don't have, as I said there, these are incomplete definitions. They leave out something, and they only emphasize one little part of repentance, and that's why so many times it can be dangerous. First of all, letter A, as I already alluded to and touched on, repentance is more than reformation or me changing my life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 is very clear that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. So works follow salvation naturally as fruit or the product of salvation. But many times the evangelist is tempted to give an improper view to the sinner, convincing him, oh, change your life or give up sin to be saved. And you pressure and pressure, but you want to see, give up the sin, change their life. But life changing is the work of who? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's God's work. He changes the life. The power of the gospel through the work of the Holy Spirit, that's what brings the sinner to the realization that my sin is terrible. That my sin is against God, and I want to repent. I want to turn from that sin. But so many times we preach the Reformation. And one problem with Reformation is that it's man-centered and it's world-centered. It is, what will the world and others now perceive about me? So I can paint the facade. I can reform. And I can kind of change. But it's still the same rot behind. Repentance, though, is not man-centered. It's God-focused. It's eternity-focused. You know, Reformation as well, it focuses a lot on the problems. We look at the problems that confront us in our life. We try to fix them. You know, I have my faults, and I'm trying to fix these faults and fix these problems. You ever heard people talking like that when you're trying to witness to them? Well, you know, I've got my own problems and faults, but you know, I'm trying to work through them. I'm trying to fix them. What are they doing? They're seeking reformation. They're seeking reformation because they're worried about how someone perceives them. What they really need is a change from the power of the Holy Spirit. In repentance, I realize again that I have sinned against a holy God. You know, anyone pretty much will admit that they have faults and problems, unless they're just a person of the height of pride. But most people will admit that they have faults and problems. But the evangelist, the ambassador, must bring the sinner to realize something about those faults and problems. That you can't fix them yourself, because those faults and problems are sin against a holy God. So repentance brings an admission of my guilty standing before the holy God. So it's more than just me forcing a change and forcing a reformation. It's something that God has to do in my heart to change my view of my sin. Secondly, letter B, repentance is more than just remorse, you know, feeling sorry, you know, so many things. Many in the scriptures were sorry. You could look, oh, I'm sorry, and they asked forgiveness and all those things, but they did not repent. How do you know if someone is sorry but does not repent? Because they continue in the same former way. You know, you ever heard, you know, when you're a kid, oh, Dad, please don't whip me. I'll never, ever do that again, right? We've all done that. I remember doing that as a boy. Dad, I will never, ever hit my sister again, ever. You, please don't spank me. All right, son. And then 5 minutes later, poof, you know, we're at it again, and here comes out the the wrath of the dad to get you, you know, because you just said, oh, I'll never, you know, well, oh, sorry that I got caught. I'm sorry that I hit her, but did I really repent? In other words, repentance is more than remorse. The true test so many times comes with time. If they truly are sorry to repentance, they will not continue in that path. You think about King Saul. I think he's just one of the perfect examples of that. You know, think of the times where he saw David. And David, you know, like when David cut the hem of his garment and then brought it back to him and, you know, was crawling on the ground to him, whatever, and asked his forgiveness for it. And what was, oh, my son, David, oh, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, the next day, what was he doing? He was out there trying to get him, saying, kill him. Did he change? No. He was sorry for about 5 minutes, but he didn't change. Repentance is more than just remorse. You know, remorse so many times is directed toward men, isn't it? We are sorry toward them. We want to change our image that we've created in front of them. But repentance is not toward men necessarily. It's toward God. And that's what brings the change before men. Repentance is toward God. Number three, real quick. This may seem kind of weird at first, but I want you to really listen to this. Repentance is more than just believing in Christ. It's more than just believing in Christ. And I was reading a couple books today, or the past couple days. Jack Hiles, I was reading about him. He championed this view that repentance is simply this. Now, repentance means to change your mind, right? So what Jack Hiles said is that repentance is to change your mind from unbelief to belief. Now, that's pretty slick, isn't it? Sounds great, doesn't it? Because after all, they reason. What is it that sends a sinner to hell? Unbelief. So if I simply change my mind from unbelief to belief, then everything's okay. It sounds so logical, but it's against the scriptures because repentance changes my mind toward God and toward my sin. You know, proper repentance does include faith and proper believing, and proper believing, proper faith does include repentance, but they are not the same thing. Acts chapter 20, again, verse 21. We were just here. Repentance toward God and faith. They're two separate things mentioned separately. Repentance and faith. If they were the same things, he would have just said repentance. Just change from unbelief to belief. There are so many verses in which repentance is referred to without the mention of faith. If repentance was a change of belief, then surely it would be mentioned as one and the same. Now, the tendency is to preach the easy way. Doesn't that sound so easy? And yes, don't get me wrong, there is belief. We have to change. We change from unbelief to belief. That's true. But it's just part. And we give people the easy part to swallow. Because I got to get them saved. I got to get that convert. Got to chalk up another one for the millions that I've led to Christ because it's all about me. So we pressure them by giving them this small part of the gospel. Yeah, you got to change from unbelief to belief. And we leave out this little thing about changing your mind about your sin. We just forget that one small little thing. Repenting is only changing belief systems. Has nothing to do with changing your life. Has nothing to do with changing your attitude, your view of sin toward God. But remember, our verse again, Acts chapter 26, verse 20. Repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. The repentance changes my lifestyle. Because when I believe in God and I realize what God's done for me, and then I look at my sin and I realize that that sin is a slap in God's face, that changes my mind about it. And as a result, that changes my life. Then quickly, letter D here. Repentance is more than just changing your mind. One view, it's been promoted back in the 80s, that repenting is only changing the mind. It has nothing to do with sorrow for sin, nothing to do with turning away from sin or turning away from changing your actions, anything like that. It's just, you know, it's simply just changing your mind. Well, many use the support that, you know, you can't include turning from sin because that would be a works-based salvation. So, you know, that's what they try to use that as their excuse. But works, however, are the fruit of salvation. They're not the cause of repentance. They're not the cause of salvation. Why, how are we saved? What is it? It is the obedient response to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's His power. It's the gospel through the Holy Spirit that works in our hearts. And it's more than just a change of our mind. So to sum up repentance, notice in the middle of your page there, the bold italic sentence there I gave you. Repentance is not turning from all sin in the sense of some sort of sinless perfection. We're not talking about sinless perfection that I turn to God and I realize what my sins and I turn from my sin. You know, we're not talking about sinless perfection. But notice this. I thought this was an excellent statement. It is a change of mind towards sin so that the sinner no longer intends to walk in rebellion against God. I see that sin does this. In other words, as we've been talking about in 1 John, sin is no longer the habit of my life. I don't live every day for sin. Now, are we going to sin? Are there times when, yes, that's why 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And there are times as believers where we sin, and we've got to run to the advocate, and he pleads our case with the Father, and we repent of that sin, we change from it, and all the Lord forgives us, and all those things that come into mind. But in salvation, we no longer intend to walk in rebellion. We don't want to be a rebel anymore. We say, Lord, we realize this offends you. This is against you. Now, this is the biblical definition of repentance. And so many times in our approach to evangelism, leading the lost to Christ, this part is missing. Now, I've mentioned here that letter A there on the very bottom of the page. The easy prayerism method. It removes the emphasis on repentance in evangelism. It doesn't deal with what repentance really is. Easy prayerism comforts the sinner by telling him something. God loves you and has provided heaven for you. Is that true? Yes, it's true. God loves the sinners. God loves all men. And he has provided heaven for those who come to him through Christ. But what is ignored is the fact that you're a lost sinner and you need to repent. So it's wrong to emphasize this side of it. Yeah, the Lord loves you, and we just bathe them with the fact that that's true. They need to know that the Lord loves them. They need to know that the Lord wants to spend eternity with them, but we try to get them to that point by sidestepping the issue of sin. We don't want to talk about that because we might lose that person. We might not be able to get them written down in our little book of names that we've led to Christ. You know, if Paul, I read this in a book, if Paul took this easy prayerism approach, here's something like he would have said, hey, Athenians, you know, when he was in Athens, God loves you and heaven is wonderful. Don't you want to go to heaven when you die? It's easy. Just believe in Jesus and pray this prayer after me. Did Paul do that when he went to Athens? No. He said his heart was moved when he saw the sin. He saw the place given to idolatry. They were a sinful people. And that's what broke Paul's heart. That's what the people needed to change from. Repentance, again, it's a change of mind that results in a change of life. And it is turning to God from sin. If there's one thing you remember from tonight, it's a change of mind that results in a change of life. And how does that change in mind come? Again, it's not what I do. It's the power of the gospel through the Holy Spirit that regenerates me, that I see that sin offends God. God's holy. And that causes me to want to change the life. And the Lord gives me the power to overcome those things. So in our evangelism, we must plainly preach repentance by dealing with sin. Repentance is a command. I thought about, you know, in the Gospels, John the Baptist, you know, repent ye and all those kind of things. The Lord said it as well so many times. God will give you the power to do that. As our pastor says, when it's a command, the Lord gives you the power to do it. To stop holding on to sin, to change directions, to change your mind about your sin. The Lord gives you the power to do that. So this is the repentance and evangelism that must be presented. And to avoid this issue is to give people an incomplete gospel, an erroneous gospel. Now, as we close tonight, I wanted to bring out just a couple things on letter B there. I read an article that was put out by Barna about the problems that we've been seeing recently in Christianity and trying to realize, why are these things happening? And one of the things that he brought out is, you know, he talks about young people leaving the church. They're realizing the hypocrisy, the fake facade of the church. And one thing that he pointed out was that people in the polling that he did do not commit themselves to the Lord. In other words, they will say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I believe in Jesus. But their life is a total disconnect. Everything they do is geared for themselves. Everything they live for is themselves. There's no commitment to the Lord. There's no service to the Lord. There's no surrender to the Lord, as we talked about, the lordship of God in our lives. All of that is gone. They've been given a false gospel that is devoid of repentance. We've been feeding on that in America for years, and here's the result we have. We have churches where the people just all come to church. They believe in Jesus. Yes, we believe in Him. And we go out and continue the pathway of sin that offends God, because I was never told that the gospel teaches that repentance is needed because my sin is against God. Now, Barna researched whether or not people were transformed by their faith. In other words, he asked them literally the question, did your belief in God change you? Now, here's where we are. Today, we believe in God, but it does nothing to change my life. And I'm not going to bring out all the things that he did, but he brought out four barriers that he believed were hindering people from their belief in God changing them. Here's the problem. I believe in God, but it doesn't change my life. Why? He said there's four things. I'm not going to touch on them. I'm just going to touch on one of them. It was interesting to me as I read the article, caught my eye. One of the things that he believed was causing this disconnect was a wrong view of repentance. Isn't that interesting that they can look back and after so many years they realize, you know what? We've been given a wrong view of repentance to our churches for years and years and years, and now this is what we get. I say I believe in something, but it has no effect whatsoever on my life. And this is where we are today in our churches in America. He discovered that few professing are committed to the Lord. And if they are, it's only for a little bit. We're not committed to Him long enough to grow in Him, to be a mature Christian. He said that, as I wrote here, number two there on the very bottom of the page, in America, 64% of self-identified Christians say they have confessed their sins and asked forgiveness, but only 3% said they were surrendered to the Lord. Now, that means the other however many percent admitted that they weren't submitted or surrendered to the Lord. They've been given a false view in repentance in which you can be forgiven and don't worry about turning from sin. Don't worry about surrendering to God. Don't worry about living for Him and being committed to the Lord and that affecting your life and you serving the Lord. All you have to do is just say you believe Him. And that is what we are filled up with in America. It's sickening when young people are getting this wrong view. And then when they grow up, they realize, you know what? There's something fake going on here. All this belief stuff that people have been talking about, I believe in Jesus, and then I see how they live, and I see what they do, and I see the things that are going on, and they're not dumb. They see the hypocrisy and the fakeness. And sadly, we're reaping a wrong gospel that's been preached in our country for years. 3% of these Christians in America have come to the place of surrender to the Lord. So few are serious about abandoning the lure of sin. Oh, we all profess, 64% of us profess that we believe in Jesus, that we're Christians, and we've been forgiven of our sins. And in other words, I've got a free ticket to heaven. That's what they've been given. That's what they've been told salvation is. It is only a free ride to heaven. So you don't have to worry about being committed to God. You don't have to worry about surrendering to Him. I'm telling you, young people, the salvation changes your mind about your sin, and you want to be committed and surrendered to the Lord. And if that mindset hasn't come to you, I wonder about salvation. That's what repentance is. You know, I tell you, I've been thinking about this as I've been studying it. This has been an eye-opener to me. Because so many times we hear these words, repent, believe, forgive, confess, and they're just terms, and we throw them around like they're nothing. And I stop and think, repentance is very serious. It's where God changes my mind about my sin. How do I see the problem of sin? By the Holy Spirit speaking me to it through His Word, through the power of the gospel, I see there's a problem here. This sin is not consistent with a holy God. But we've been taught, just believe in God, and you don't have to worry at all about what you do. Only 3% said they were committed and surrendered to the Lord. Repentance has been taken out of the gospel, so therefore we've produced Christians in name only. There's no mind change about sin because I keep doing it. He doesn't care that I just live like I want to live. It's interesting that Barna concludes his article by identifying some of the challenges for the church in this area. And he writes that most churches encourage people to engage in more and more religious activity. He did statistics on this. We don't have time to get into them. But this, get them involved in activity, just religious activity. We've got I've been to some big churches' websites and I've looked at their calendars and there's something every night of the week. And we think Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night's enough. I'm tired of church. Well, they have something every single night. What are they doing? Religious activity, religious activity. Fill up the calendars, pack it full, so people are performing religious activity, but it's caused a loss of vision concerning the end result, which is godly character. We're so busy in our activity in the church, just organizing all these things. So the focus is on the activity rather than a relationship with the Lord, and that activity leading me to a relationship to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with an activity, but we're so busy with it, it has nothing to do with God. Yeah, we're just getting together and having a great old time. And oh, we're religiously active, buddy. But there's nothing been changed in my life. He brought out another problem, and he said that we have churches of people that don't want to be broken. They don't want to be broken. They don't understand how serious their sin is. We don't want anything to do with sacrifice. We don't want anything to do with surrender because my culture teaches me that's weakness. So we listen to the culture. We don't want anything to do with being broken. Oh, being broken for the Lord, that's just weakness. No, we don't want to do that. And our churches are full of a wrong view of repentance. As believers that are endeavoring to be ambassadors, we must carry the full gospel. We spoke on this last time, but one important factor that's often ignored is this need of repentance. It is the change of mind about God and about sin. What is the change that I realize about God? That God is a holy God. What's my change about sin? That it is against the character of a holy God, and God will not accept it. He won't put up with it. No matter what our modern churches say, young people, God will not put up with your sin. He won't just sweep it under the rug and ignore it. He is a holy God. And we've got to come to a place where the Holy Spirit works in ours and we realize, that's guilt, buddy. You want to know guilt? I can't stand before God because I'm a sinner. And it overwhelms you. And the only thing you can do is plead for His blood. And He saves you and regenerates you. And because why do I want to keep living for this sin? This is the thing that caused me to be guilty. This is the thing that's against the holy God. And we turn and we change. And that's the change of mind about God and sin that results in a change of life. The sinner now no longer intends to walk in rebellion. You know, if you have not experienced this change, you are willfully rebellious to God, then you need salvation and repentance. It's not good enough, young people, to say, I believe Jesus lived, and I believe Jesus is in heaven. Yeah, well, that's good and nice. And then we go about our merry little way and think God just smiles at our sin. And it doesn't even cross our mind. I tell you, it's amazing. The sin that is committed in church, people that go to church, living in sin, but seeing no connection whatsoever that I'm professing belief in a holy God that will not tolerate this sin. We must be faithful to give the message of repentance. Not a message of reformation and all those kind of things. It's all a part of it. But don't overemphasize one thing to the neglect of other. It is a change of our mind about God, who He is, and about our sin, how terrible it is. And that results in the change of life. Father, we just ask that You would work in our hearts. We thank You for this message of repentance, Lord. It's been a blessing to me. And I pray, Lord, that You would work in any here that may not know You, Lord. We would be fools to think that everyone in this congregation is a believer in Jesus Christ and that belief has caused them to realize something about God and sin. Lord, I pray You just work in our hearts tonight. Thank You for this time we've had together to share Your word in Christ's name. Amen.